We turn tonight to Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. Hebrews 11 and 12, the text that we will consider tonight, it consists of the first two verses of chapter 12. This was a sermon that I preached originally during my internship at Granville this past year, and just with the way the week went, that's why I'm using it tonight. And not preaching from 1 Thessalonians. So tonight we look at these two verses from Hebrews chapter 12, the first two. But let's begin reading at verse 23 of chapter 11. The beginning of chapter 12 is very much related to chapter 11. So to set the context, let's begin at verse 23 of chapter 11 and read through verse 11 of chapter 12. The Word of God at Hebrews 11:23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's read that far tonight. The text, as I said, is the first two verses of the chapter. We'll read those again. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's look at this text, beloved, tonight under the theme, Running the Race of Faith. Running the Race of Faith. And we will notice three things. The figure of a race. In the second place, the manner of running. And last, the prize for victory. Running the race of faith. The manner, or rather the figure of a race, the manner of running, and the prize for victory. In the text, the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of the book of Hebrews compares our lives, our spiritual lives, to the running of a race. And he does this with good reason. And when the apostle has a race in mind, he's not referring to a sprint. He's not referring even to a race that may take the runner around the oval track three or four times. Rather, the writer of the book of Hebrews has in mind a long-distance race. Something like our present-day marathon. And as I said, he does this with good reason, because in a very real way, the running of a long-distance race, like a marathon, is similar to our spiritual lives. And it's similar especially in this respect, that both are very, very hard at times. But let's see that similarities. Let's lay out the figure of a race that the apostle has in mind. In every race, there are, in the first place, certain participants. Not everyone runs in a race that there may be here on this earth. In the Boston Marathon, not everyone in the city of Boston runs in that race. Only certain people that qualify and are able then to run that marathon. Well, in a similar way, our spiritual race of faith is only run by certain individuals. There are certain participants in the spiritual race of faith. And that's because of the fact that it's the race of faith. There are others outside of the church that run a race. They certainly do. But it's not the race that we run as the children of God. We run a special race, the race of faith. And that's evident from the fact that the personal pronouns in These two verses are us and we. Who is the writer of the book of the Hebrews talking about? Well, he's talking about those whom he calls in chapter 3, the holy brethren and partakers of the heavenly calling. That's verse 1 of chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, certain kind of people that the apostle is talking about. And then he says in verse 14 that these are the ones that are made partakers of Christ. Very simply, the participants in this race that we are talking about are the children of God. Certain participants in every race. In the second place, every race has a starting point. For races here on this earth, everyone gets together and they make their way to the starting point of that race. And it's from that point on that their race begins. Well, our spiritual race of faith has a starting point as well. We begin running the very moment that the life of Jesus Christ is implanted in our hearts. And that's regeneration. When Jesus Christ sends His Spirit and works that Spirit in our hearts, that's when our spiritual race of faith began. And that's connected, obviously, with the first point that we made, the certain participants in this race that we are running. And so what this means for us tonight is that we don't hear the word tonight, begin running. I don't say to you tonight, go out and get your spiritual running shoes out and start your race. That's not what we say tonight. What we say tonight is continue to run because you're in the race right now as the children of God, regenerated in the past, probably in infancy for some of us, and now continuing to go forth in this race that we are running. So every race has participants. Every race has a starting point. Every race also, in the third place, has a certain course. The gun goes off in a race, and everyone standing there doesn't simply start running. One goes this way, another goes this way. Obviously not. They run along a well-marked out course the day before. Signs were put up so that when they start running, everybody runs exactly where they are supposed to run. There's a certain course for a race. There's a certain course that we run as well. And the spiritual course that we run is mapped out even more clearly than any race that may take place in a city or in the countryside. It's mapped out even more clearly and definitely because it was God Himself who determined every spot, every inch of the race that you will run here on this earth. And what that means is that every course, or every individual rather, has a certain course that he or she is called to run. Every one of us, in a certain sense, has his or her own course. Because God determined that this is the place that you will go as His child. And God determined that this is the place that another person will go. We face different things in this life. Not one of our lives is exactly the same. We each have, determined by God, a course that we are called to run. Now that doesn't mean that we run our spiritual races isolated from one another. Of course not. For some, the courses that we run are side by side. You think of a husband and a wife. From the moment they are married until one of the spouses die, it's as if they are on the same course, parallel with one another. And we live together in the church. All of our courses are interconnected. They crisscross. They are parallel, and all the more. We each have our own course, but we certainly run together as the body of Christ. But there's comfort in knowing that the course that I am on is the course that God determined for me to run. That's comfort because we not always like where we are at. And sometimes we look at the path that's set in front of us and you say, I don't want to go that way. Why this way for me? There's comfort in knowing that this way has been determined by God, and therefore this way is good for you, because it was determined by our all-wise God, the wisdom of God in setting forth the path that you are called to run on. And this also means the fact that God determined the course. It also means that each one of our courses is a different length. Some are called to live and to run for 70, for 80, for 90 years. They must plod along on the course God set in front of them. But for others, it may be the will of God that that course may be shorter. In His infinite wisdom and providence, His course or her course may be shorter. Every course is set for you individually, determined by God. In the fourth place, the similarity between an earthly race and our spiritual race of faith is the fact that there are spectators to our race. And that's the context of Hebrews chapter 11 and the beginning of the text. Wherefore, which brings us back to Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by witnesses. That's the way it is in an earthly race. You think of the Fifth Third Riverbank Run. You run that race, and lining the streets of that race are spectators who we receive encouragement from when we run. If anyone has run that race, you understand how that can be the case. You see the people watching and cheering. You see your family members, your friends. And it's an encouragement to keep on going and to press on towards the end of the race. Same thing with our spiritual race of faith. There are spectators that we can look to and be encouraged in our spiritual race that we run. Who are those spectators? The witnesses. It's all of the heroes of faith that Hebrews chapter 11 talks about. We look to them and we receive encouragement in what we are called to do. Now, how is that the case and why is that the case? It has especially to do with the fact that these saints set forth in Hebrews 11 were Old Testament saints who lived at the period of time, types and shadows that looked ahead to the coming of Jesus Christ. Notice what we read in verse 39 of Hebrews 11. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Especially that end. They received not the promise. That doesn't mean that the promise of God did not come to them. They had the promise of God, the promise of Jesus Christ. But they received not the promise in this sense. They themselves did not experience and see the coming of Jesus Christ. That was something in the future for them. And they never experienced it. But nevertheless, they still went forward in faith and in obedience to the Word of God, and striving to live well-pleasing to God. The point is this, if they did that, looking ahead by faith, trusting that the promise of Christ would come. If they did that before that, how much more must we and can we who can look back and see the promise fulfilled in the coming of Christ also go forth in faithfulness to God? We're encouraged when we read all of those stories in the Old Testament. I mean, that's what Hebrews 11 is. It's just a summary of those beautiful stories set forth in the Old Testament for us. When we read those things, marvelous examples of faith, a strong faith even before Christ came, we are strengthened, we are encouraged to keep going strong in the race that we are called to run. Similarities with respect to participants, starting point, course, spectators, and now in the last place, this figure of a race is fitting because both races are in a special way very, very hard. That's the outstanding characteristic of a long-distance race, a marathon. It's so very difficult at times. It's so difficult because everything in your body says, stop, I don't want to go any farther, when you must go in order to finish the race. Our spiritual race of faith is no different, beloved. It's very, very difficult. And that more than anything characterizes what we must go through here on this earth. When I made this sermon originally, for some reason I must have had it on my mind, but I was thinking of one of the outstanding works in the history of the Christian church, and that is Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I have in my study what I think is a pretty neat version of that book, an illustrated version, condensed version of Pilgrim's Progress. And in that book, in a marvelous way, Christian, the main character, is set forth as having that burden on his back as he plods along in his pilgrim's progress. Huge burden that slows him down, that makes his way difficult for him. And that's fitting because that's us as well. As we go forth on the course God has set before us, we go forth with that giant burden on our back. That giant burden of sin. And that's what the text says. Lay aside every weight and the sin. And this is the weight, the sin, which doth so easily beset us. What makes it so very hard for us to run is sin. And particularly those besetting sins, those sins that come up in our lives over and over and over again. So that at times when we make one step forward, it feels like we're making two steps back right after that. And we never get anywhere because of this burden of sin that's on our backs. The race is hard, especially because of sin. And don't forget that there are the spectators of the cloud of witnesses, but there are others watching, lining our course. The devil and all of his hosts, who find anything they can find, rocks on the side of the road and whatever else, and they throw them at us, trying to hit us, to knock us down, to injure us, to slow us down. They put stumbling blocks in our paths to get us to stop running. And to get us to absolutely give up. Because of sin, besetting sins, the devil and his hosts, the race that we run is very, very difficult. And that's why we must run that race in a certain way, as a proper manner of running. And the manner of running, as it says in the text, is with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the manner of running. It's with patience and looking to Jesus. First, it's with patience. There's several different aspects to the idea of patience. One of the aspects of patience is the idea of steadfastness. And that's the particular emphasis of this word in the text. Steadfastness. And once again, that fits with the figure of a race. A good long-distance runner is one who absolutely perseveres in that race. Oftentimes it's more psychological than it is physiological. Everything in your body says, stop, stop, stop. And it's your mind that must convince yourself to go, 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 to persevere, to be steadfast in the race. And we must do the same thing as well in our spiritual race of faith. And the only way to do that, the only way to run with patience, to persevere, is, as the text says, to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In so many ways, the figure fits. When you run, you look to something. Set your eye on it. And you make it to that point. We run spiritually, and we must have, as it were, tunnel vision. Block everything else out. Focus in on one person and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We find strength in Him and in Him alone in the race that we are called to run. We look to Christ because every aspect of the race that we talked about is related to the Lord Jesus Christ. The participants in the race run because of Christ. God chose in eternity who would be His people, who would run this race of faith. And what does Ephesians 1 say? It says that we were chosen in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Christ, beloved, that we even set foot on this course, this race of faith. Number two, the starting point. When do we start? We start when Jesus implants His life in us. Regeneration. The Spirit that comes in our hearts is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of Christ that we even begin our race of faith. Number three, the course that we run. That too is determined by God and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He sets the path that we are called to run. And as well, the witnesses. Hebrews 11 gives all of the different witnesses, those who we can find strength in when we look to for our course here on this earth. But beloved, there's one that we look to even more. And we must look to. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great example when it comes to running our spiritual race. Jesus ran His race for 33 years on this earth. And He did all of those things that the end of verse 2 talks about. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus ran like no one else. And therefore, we look to Him for strength. And that's the idea of verse 2. You look to Him. You find strength in Him. And also with respect to the difficulty of the race. What did we say was the main difficulty of the race we run? It's the sin, that weight, that burden that is on our back. What does the text say? It says, let us lay aside every weight. That certainly is a calling to holiness, a calling to live a sanctified life, a calling to fight that sin so that it doesn't hinder us in the race that we run. But it's more than that. It's more than that, because we may run till the day that we die, and all that we do when we run is make that burden heavier and heavier and heavier because of the sin that we commit over and over again. We run looking to Jesus because Jesus is the only one that can remove that burden. We run with patience looking to Jesus by casting that sin and that weight and that burden upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He was the one who paid the price for that sin. He was the one. And He is the only one, as we said this morning, that can take that burden off our backs and put it on His own back so that we can make progress and go forward in the race of our faith. How do we run? This is how we run. With steadfastness, perseverance, and patience. Looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we will receive the prize for victory. In the ancient days, the prize for victory was a wreath made of olive leaves placed upon their heads. Today, the prize for victory is cash or a trophy or a medal or whatever else. And here's where the figure breaks down. Breaks down for a couple of reasons. Because in the first place, in a race here on this earth, there's only one victor. There's only one that receives the grand prize. But not so when it comes to the race of faith. And it breaks down also because the prize that we receive in no way is compared to any earthly prize that a runner may win after he wins the race. So much greater than any money or any honor that can be bestowed upon anyone. We receive the prize of victory because Jesus Christ ran the race that He was called to run. That's what the text says, that He, for the joy that was set before Him, ran His race so that He is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the joy that was set before Christ? It's exactly that. In part, it was the joy of being at God's right hand. He went through the cross, the grave, death. And from that, having accomplished the work He was called to do, He received the joy of being at God's right hand. Now, why was that such a joy for Him? It's a joy because it was an exalted position at the right hand of God. But joy also in this. He knew from that point of view, or from that place in heaven, as Lord over all, He could bring, and that's what He does right now, He brings His people to the end of their races and gives them the prize for victory. Jesus is the great forerunner. We read that elsewhere in Hebrews. He entered the Holy of Holies as the forerunner, a picture of heaven itself. And because our head, Jesus Christ, entered heaven, we who are His body will also one day receive that prize of victory. He's the author of our faith, the originator of our faith. He implants that faith in us. Faith, our union to Christ. He's the finisher as well. And what that means is He will perfect that faith. He will bring it to its culmination. When we cross that finish line, and the crossing of that finish line is the very last breath that we take here on this earth, we will receive the prize of victory. Jesus Himself will take our soul and bring it to heaven. And there our faith will be perfected. Our union to Christ will be experienced like never before. We will see Him face to face. in glory. A marvelous prize for victory because Jesus obtained the victory on the cross and through His resurrection and His ascension into heaven. With that hope, beloved, run. Persevere here on this earth. But the beauty of the race that we run is not that one day we will receive that victory. We will receive it like we never received it before. But the fact that right now we have the victory. Right now we experience the victory of this race because we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that goes back to what we said this morning. We have our Savior. We belong to Him. We enjoy that life with Him right now so that we can go to Him, cast our burden upon Him, and go forward running our spiritual race of faith. We run with thankfulness, therefore. Thankfulness that we have the victory now. We run with thankfulness, looking for that great victory when we will be with Him in glory. May God give us the strength each and every day to run with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Lord God, we thank Thee that Thou hast determined our course and now gives us the strength to run. And Lord, may we run looking to Jesus so that we find all of our strength in Him. And we run in such a way that we look forward to the ultimate prize of victory, the prize of life with Thee in glory into all eternity. But we pray for daily strength to go forth faithfully, fighting that sin. And removing that burden of sin in the way of confessing our sins and looking to Jesus. Forgive our sins, even the sins of this worship. For Jesus' sake, Amen.